God called Abraham out of the chaos of the ancient world to make through him a chosen people to bless all nations. Then God delivered his people from Egypt, but they refused to enter into the land set aside for them and wandered in the desert. God gave them the law to consecrate them as his people, and eventually they entered the promised land. But they forgot his law and worshipped other gods. God called judges and prophets to warn and encourage them. He established David as king, and there was peace and prosperity. But they forgot about him again, and the kingdom fell. So God sent Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He sent Ezra to remind them of his law, and the temple was rebuilt. Yet again, they turned from God and embraced the world around them. But God, longing for their whole hearts, called forth his prophet Malachi to remind them of his faithful love and of the kingdom that was coming. If you cast your mind back 3 weeks, hopefully this above me gave you a bit of an understanding of where we're at in Israel's history. Before we head back into Malachi, and Malachi we're going to be reading today is from verse 6 of chapter 1. And if you'd like to turn with me, I'll try and read this as eloquently as possible. Malachi chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 6. A son honours his father and a slave his master. And if I am a father, where is the honour due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. On that one of you who would shut the temple doors so that you would not light unless fires on my altar, I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honour my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yet I have already cursed them, because you have not resolved to honour me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent this warning so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of the priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. And people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have cursed you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partially in matters of the law. Let's pray. Father God, we would thank you this morning for your word. Lord, as we go deeper into these scriptures, may we understand this morning what you have to say to us through these scriptures. Help us to put aside the distractions of the week and to focus our hearts and our minds on what you would have to say to us. Bless us now as we continue together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That is a tough section in Malachi. The language is strong, and the content is super serious. But before we go into it in greater detail, I'd like us to try, if we can, to cast our minds back to 3 weeks ago, which in summary was this. You see, we, as the church, can live in a certain way. And if we live in that certain way, we can cause a lot of hurt and pain. We can cause sorrow and sadness. But when we surrender to the love of Christ and to the gospel, we progress towards God. And I don't know your hearts this morning, of course. But if we orient away from God, we're heading, as the scriptures tell us, towards a debased mind, towards darkness, towards brokenness. And we were reminded that's not where God starts. I have loved you. I have loved you. And according to Romans 5, that's all of us. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So with this in mind, and as our foundation for Malachi this morning, it'll help us sort of navigate our way through these tough verses. Sadly, the priests here were allowing God's people to bring their worst to him. And God is calling them to account. He's reminding them of his love, but he wants their full, undivided attention, not their leftovers. I was massively challenged while studying this. These verses are tough, but maybe that's what we all need to hear this morning. That's a question to our own hearts. Does God get my full attention, or does he get my leftovers? You see, Christianity isn't just about Sunday morning. Coming into this beautiful building doesn't make us a Christian. It certainly doesn't qualify for God getting my full attention. These verses show us that God, as a lion, is to be feared. He is not someone that we throw scraps to. And it's no good just knowing the word. We're called to live the word. And the Bible, time after time, on repeat, tells us, go ahead, keep your half-hearted worship. Keep it. I don't want it. It's not just knowing the word, it's living it. Here, strong language is being used. And this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is heavy text. Isaiah 29, 13 and 14 says this, and I'll turn to it. Isaiah 29, verse 13 and 14. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Now, the first part of verse 14 might be snatched off the pages and maybe put on a t-shirt or on a mug. I'm going to do wonder upon wonder for you. However, if you actually put this into context of what it's actually saying, don't fear me and give me your leftovers. Everything you do and the way you behave is stupid. And there's younger people in here, so I'm going to be careful. But this is saying the wisest among you will start sounding moronic. This is really challenging stuff that we're looking at together this morning. And this is what happens when the people of God don't fear God and his name. And we can all say, well, I'm the exception to that. God overlooks my words and actions. But what is that except throwing the scraps to him and not honouring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Don't forget, Malachi started with, I first loved you. And it's the foundation of what we build our lives on, isn't it? But don't think that that love for you means that he is always pleased with you and how you're living your life. There is a life that can be lived that pleases him. And then there's the Lord's discipline. And you will choose, and I will choose. Because don't miss this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says this, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. As a good father disciplines his children. To love is to discipline, isn't it? And what I also want us to remember as we look at these strong words in Malachi is that God is telling his people all of this just before nearly 500 years of silence. And then, of course, we're going to come into the New Testament where Jesus comes into human history so that we can have a better understanding of these words here in Malachi. I want to jump to chapter 2 and verse 5. And this will help us to understand the dung on faces section a little bit easier. Anyone who heard this in Judah at this time, whoever would have heard these words, would have heard them through the lens of Levitical law, okay? And it's important that we understand that. So, what is the Levitical covenant? Chapter 2, verse 5 says this: "My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I give them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from sin. For the lips of the priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is a messenger," get this, "he is a messenger of the Lord Almighty, and the people seek instruction from his mouth. My covenant with Levi." You can read about this in Exodus. And don't forget, remember, "I first loved you. And now here is the law," if you remember the Ten Commandments, "for human flourishing, for life, that's truly life." And this is all as they're going into the promised land. Levi's line is actually set aside, okay? It's set aside for the tabernacle and the temple. And the Levite line are to receive the sacrifices. They make sacrifices. They are the go-between God and the people. The priests were there for that, okay? In fact, the people begged Moses for a go-between, because they feared God. Of course they did. Now, that's what it's all about. That's why the verses in the gospel that we read together are there, all for a good reason. Matthew 27, 50 to 51 says what? Luke 20, 23, 44 to 47 says what? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he'd said this, he breathed his last. It says the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. Torn in two. The veil curtain in the temple had been a constant reminder that sin renders humanity unfit for the presence of the living God. I saw something so beautiful this week that made me sit back. And I think the significance of this is actually lost a little on us. We all have questions lined up, don't we, for when we go to heaven? I know I do. And I definitely give this quite a bit of thinking about, to be honest. You know, King David, when he's there, you know, what was it like to come up against that giant Goliath, 9 feet tall? What was it like? Moses, that staff, it turned to a snake. You know, tell me about that. And Elijah, wow, come on. Was it a mid-morning ride as you went up to heaven? Have you considered during those conversations that the Old Testament saints might have some questions for us. What was it like to be able to access the presence of the living God anytime you wanted it? No sacrifices, no priests, no building, no temple. What was it like? Nothing separating you. Nothing at all separating you from the presence of the living God. And you, as a sinful people, could just walk in the presence of God. You can kind of see why I think we've lost the significance of that. You see, we can meet with him. We can talk with him. We can encounter him anytime because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't forget that this morning. Back to Malachi with the Levitical law in mind. Right relationship was critical for the people's walk. Live in such a way. Talk in such a way. Walk in such a way. So that nations, friends, family, colleagues may understand what it's all about and see God's wisdom. The church has that role now. Don't miss that. We have that role now, and that is challenging. Why? Because God is calling you and me to live that way. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, says, You are to be a holy priesthood if you are a follower of Christ. Verse 9, in fact, I'm going to read verse 9 to us. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are to live rightly with God in holy fear. Holy respect. In such a word, in such a way that the world sees us being different. And the world will be drawn to it. God's good design. And God is saying to the people, there is a covenant between us. Well, if we think about our generation now, the lack of respect that's in there is incredible. There is nothing, is there? This passage is telling us to fear the Lord. We need to see God rightly for who he is. Charles Spurgeon said, the fear of the Lord is the death of all other fears. And this is everywhere in the Bible, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New as well. Have grace and reverence and fear, we find in Hebrews. Peter says, live in reverent fear of the creator of the universe. This morning, church, we are here worshipping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Malachi, verse 6 of chapter 1. A son honours his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honour due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. If you priests show contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled food and defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. How are they despising the name of the Lord? Well, they were giving lame sacrifices. They were required by law, the Levitical law, in keeping the law, they had to deliver the correct sacrifice. But they were keeping what they wanted for themselves, and giving the bad animals, the leftovers, unacceptable to present before the living God and the Holy One of Israel. And this can be you and me. God can get our leftovers. And sadly, it isn't about him. And we start to put God on a list. Yes, but he's my number one on my list. It's kind of a horrid thing to say. And we have to look at our theology there. He's in a completely other category, where there's only one. My money, my time, my talent, my family, it's all ours and not his. We won't ever be grateful for what we think we're entitled to. Do you see this morning? He's the author and perfecter of all good things. And the fear of the Lord makes us move toward him. The more we fear him, the more I'm not performing for anyone in this daily world and life that I live in. And I'm orienting myself and my life to the creator of the universe. That's life that's truly life. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." We need, as believers, to be a picture of God's commands. To lovingly serve him wholeheartedly. I said this before. I've got three children here in this building this morning, or this afternoon as it is. And nothing can separate them from my love. Nothing. They do not have the power, and I've been tested. That love is strong enough to hold whatever happens in the future. They're mine, they're my people. And that love is strong enough to hold any disappointment that might arise in the future. There is a way, according to the Bible, that pleases God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 says, "So we make it our goal to please him, whether he at home in the body or away from it." Colossians 1:10 says, "Then the way you live will always honour and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit." Live the life that pleases him. Wholehearted worship. He isn't on a list. He is my life. He is in a completely different category, where there is only one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. The challenges that it brings to us as your church and your people. And Father, we pray that we might live in holy fear of you, but knowing that you first loved us beyond measure and unto death. And Father, we thank you this morning that we worship a risen Saviour, a risen Lord. That temple curtain has been torn into, and that we can come into the presence of the living God this morning. Bless us as we continue to worship together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.